Rebuilding the Ancient Walls, Part 7. We have now completed our studies concerning the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem in Nehemiah's day, yet I would like to continue in the book of Nehemiah, because circumstances arose after the rebuilding had been completed, which are similar in nature to what our country of Great Britain is experiencing after the lockdown, due to the coronavirus panic having been lifted. But just before we leave the subject of gates, in total there were 12 gates in the walls around Jerusalem, 9 which needed rebuilding. The question we may ask is, what about the other 3 gates? As nothing is said about these gates needing rebuilding, we can conclude that these gates were still standing. Let's look at these 3 gates recorded in the book of Nehemiah and see what lessons we can gain from them. In Nehemiah 3:31, we read about the second gate that did not need repairing, the corner, but does not mention the word gate. There are other references to the corner gate in the Old Testament. By definition, the corner gate is a place where the walls meet at right angles. Standing outside of the corner wall, we can see in more than one direction. It is vital we like the corner are upright and straight. In Acts 2:46 we read how the new church lived. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. How important for the disciples and the new Christians to meet regularly for fellowship with one another. If we are in constant fellowship with one another, this will help to prevent us from falling. We also read in the New Testament that the Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter 5:6-9, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering." We need to be alert. If we have Jesus as our cornerstone, our lives will be safe. The Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter 2:5-7, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, 'See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious stone, precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame.' Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone that builders rejected has become the cornerstone." What an assurance that if we make Jesus our cornerstone, if we allow him to be our anchor, Peter says in verse 6, "The one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." It's a guarantee. We will never be put to shame. Also in Nehemiah 3:31 we read about the guard gate, which in other translations of the Bible is referred to as the inspection gate or mifkad gate. The Hebrew word mifkad means appointment, account, census, mustering. It carries the idea of troops showing up for review. The word in Hebrew has a military connection, and according to tradition, it was at this gate that David would meet his troops to inspect them. One word to describe the lesson here is accountability. There are times in my life when I needed to stop and assess how fruitful my life was. I continue to ask the question, am I serving God in a way that shows the giftings he has given me are being used? By using these gifts, am I making a difference to those I make contact with every day? be they Christians or non-Christians. Am I leaving a little of God's aroma with people I meet, the aroma of God's love? When God looks down into our lives, do we look well presented and prepared and protected like when David inspected his soldiers? We as soldiers of Jesus Christ need to be well protected so we do not get injured by the world and Satan's tactics to bring us down, as the Apostle Paul encouraged us in Ephesians 6:10-17. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with a readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the fiery arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We read in Philippians 4:6-8, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Here again, we have the assurance that if we approach God with praise, prayer and petition, the peace of God will guard our hearts. In Nehemiah 8 verse 16, we read about the third gate that did not need repairing, the gate of Ephraim. Ephraim was one of Jacob's children. When Jacob was old and realized he was soon to die, he called each one of his children and blessed them and prophesied over them. We read what Jacob prophesied over Joseph, who was the father of Ephraim. In Genesis 49:22, we read what Jacob said. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. Joseph, who was Ephraim's first son, was referred to as a fruitful bough. In Genesis 41:52, we read, the second son of Joseph, he named Ephraim and said, it is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. If we are fruitful, we will be strong, able to withstand the temptations of falling. We read how to be fruitful by what the Apostle Peter said in 2 Peter 1:3-8. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life, through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of this world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here in this scripture, the word if is so powerful. In verse 8 it says, "For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." We can see that the principles in these three gates, how they stood strong when all the other gates fell. We discover when the battles are raging as Satan seeks to fight against us, we can stay strong. By adhering to these principles, by having Jesus as our chief cornerstone, continuing to be accountable and fruitful, we can guarantee God will fight for us. In the Old Testament, on one occasion when the Israelites were being threatened by an army surrounding Jerusalem, one of the priestly leaders stood up, and this is what he said in 2 Chronicles 20, 14-17. "Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite and descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly. He said, 'Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you.' During our lifetime, we will face many battles, but if we stay close to the Lord, our walls will stay strong. We will be able to say, as the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and even pretensions that set itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Let us close this devotion by listening to the words of the song written by Graham Kendrick, which reminds us that as soldiers of Jesus Christ, we are overcomers.
name of Jesus we stand. By the power of his blood, we now claim this ground. Let's proclaim this over the ground of our lives. His lordship, his victory. Jesus Christ, O Lord, please.